Our scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 6, and Evan's going to come and read that for us. Take out your Bibles, if you would, whether paper copies or digital copies. Let's get into God's Word together.
Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest."
Eventually in life, we will face a moment where our sense of security and our sense of enthusiasm and even a sense of competence gets transformed into a deep sense of fear. That moment when you've been sitting in the class and you feel like you have a pretty good understanding of the material, and then you find yourself standing in front of the class being asked to teach the material. And you realize you don't know it quite as well as you thought. You've been sitting comfortably in the armchair watching the game. You know all the stats. You know all the players. You know what the coach should do on the field. You can give wonderful, informed, educated advice from your armchair. Until you get onto the field. And there's a team in front of you, there's a million people watching, there's a championship on the line, there's 2 minutes on the clock, and they say, "Coach, what should we do?" At that moment, your sense of well-being and competency starts to vanish. And it's replaced often with a sense of fear. And it's often in those moments, those holy moments, that we grow the most. Ever had a time where you felt that shift, you know, where you go, "Ooh, I wasn't sure I was ready for that." I want us to imagine today what that moment, the one we've just read about in Mark chapter 6, what that would have been like for the disciples. Let's just go there with our imaginations a little bit. See if we can get inside their heads. But I was wondering especially this week about Thaddeus. He was one of the disciples. We don't hear all that much about him. What that experience would have been like for Thaddeus. By this point, it's been maybe a few months since Jesus has called him. So however Jesus chose to call him, the scriptures are silent on this. It must have been an incredible honor. This rabbi, this teacher, this healer, this leader that was so much more than he'd ever encountered in any other area of life is calling him to follow. "Thaddeus, I want you to come and follow me." And Thaddeus and his brother, James, there's several James among the disciples, followed. What an honor. They've seen Jesus heal. They've heard him teach, preach with an authority and power. Watched as a man was lowered through the roof to be healed in the center of the house. Listened as Jesus was telling stories like the parable of the sower, the passage we looked at last week. And he's seen Jesus do things he just simply could not explain. I mean, to calm a storm with a word, "Peace, be still," and the waves would stop. Who has an explanation for that? Or more recently, saw Jesus actually raise a sick little girl back from the dead. Who's got an explanation for that? So Thaddeus, I mean, it must have been kind of exciting. I mean, he's in Jesus' entourage. He's in his posse. He's on team Jesus. Here's Jesus. Jesus is awesome, and I'm with Jesus. That's fantastic. I imagine he would feel pretty good, don't you think? Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, he's walking with Jesus. Wow. He's also seen some things he also didn't maybe understand too well. Like when Jesus goes back to his hometown of Nazareth and the people ignore him. What's that about? And then we come to this moment. Mark chapter 6. I wonder if Jesus gathered them all up for a pep talk. Okay, gentlemen, gather in. Today's your day. It's your turn now to go out and preach and heal. By ourselves? No. You're going out two by two. Two by two. Now, the tradition tells us that Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot ended up doing ministry later together. So I wonder if it was right at that moment that Jesus paired them off. Simon, Thaddeus, you're going together. Where'd we go? Go off to the villages and preach just like I taught you. And Jesus starts giving these instructions. You can take a staff, but no bread. No bread? What if we get hungry? What if we run out of supplies? What if people ignore us and there's no food? No bread. No bag, no money in your belts. No supplies? What are we talking about? What if we need a place to stay? What if we need to buy a room? What if we run out of stuff? No belt. No money. No bag. You sure? You wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Somebody's trying to stash an extra shirt with their stuff. It's my good shirt. I won't be able to, like, at least be able to, I don't want to preach in a dirty shirt. It's gross. Ugh. And then he says something else. I just wonder what it was like when I heard it the first time. Just imagine that with me, okay? Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town. Okay. What if I don't like the house? What if the first person to invite me in is annoying? Maybe that's the way you grow the most. Now, if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And I'm just wondering if the disciples at that point were real. Oh, so there's a good chance this isn't going to go well. I have no stuff. I have no supplies. And I'm heading into an environment where I might face complete and total rejection. Thanks, Jesus. That's why I think this is the moment where excitement and enthusiasm and awe and wonder has been replaced by fear. Don't you think? I wonder what that first mission was like. So here's Thaddeus, and let's say it was Simon. They're walking along. There's a village up there. Think we should go? Well, Jesus said we should go. They're walking towards the village, coming up with the game plan. So, who's going to do the preaching? You do the preaching. I'm not doing the preaching. You got a better... No, I'm not... I'm going to do that. you do the Q&A, and I'll do the, okay. You do the preaching, I'll do the Q&A, and then we have to pray for people, right? Pray for people, okay. They got a plan. You know, and they see this little villa of maybe 12 homes and a kitchen post, and they're coming in with the plan to preach, just like Jesus taught them to. What was that message again? It's repent and believe the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, repent and believe. But what if they ask questions? I don't know. Just a message. Okay. Somebody goes into the center of the villa. Repent and believe the kingdom of God is at hand. Nobody's coming out of their houses. What do we do? I don't know. Maybe they didn't hear you. Try it again. Okay. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God is at hand. And some guy comes out of one of the houses. Well, I see the kingdom of Caesar is at hand. You got any new ideas for us, buddy? Kingdom of Herod's at hand. He's been taking my money for years. They turn around and walk back in the house. Ooh. What do we do now? I don't know. Maybe some folks make fun of them. Maybe some folks ignore them. And they start to face that fear. You ever been rejected? Maybe they would move on to the next village and try the same thing again. See if it works better this time. Okay, who's going to do the preaching? Yeah, you do the preaching this time, Simon. No, I don't want to do the preaching. Okay, I'll do it. But you do the Q&A, and if you have to pray, you have to do the prayer. Okay. But I don't have any experience doing this. Well, you have more experience than I do. Okay, here we go. Next villa. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And some people come out. So tell me about this kingdom of God of which you speak. They weren't ready for this. It's like, the kingdom of God is like, there's a guy who he's sowing seed, and the seed, it goes out, and he throws some on the path, and then there's a mouse that comes along. It's not a mouse, it's a bird. Oh, okay, it's great. Then there's a bird that comes along, and what's the part after that? And then, but it grows, but the bird gets hungry? No. And then, the kingdom of God is breaking in, and God is all around us, and all you need to do is you need to open your eyes to the reality of God. God wants to be involved in your life. Amen. Would anybody like to receive prayer? And there's perhaps some silence. Would anybody like to receive some prayer? And then off from behind the huts, back behind the trash heap, I hear a voice. Would you pray for me? And a man walks out. And as he walks into the village, he sees the villagers clear a path because this man has been sick for some time. And if you remember in the Old Testament what you do with people who are sick? You quarantine them. They're quarantined. So he's been living outside the village for months. Walks in. Everybody's cleared out except for, at this point, those two brave disciples. The heart's just pounding. What are we supposed to do? What if it doesn't work? What's your name? My name's David, perhaps, says the man. I've had these boils on my arm for months. I haven't been able to see my family. I haven't been able to work. All my strength is gone. Would you pray for me? The disciples have a passing glance between the two of them. Okay, how did Jesus say to do this again? He gave us instructions on this. How did he say to do it? How did he say to do it? What's the instructions? To anoint sick people with what? Oil. Now, this is one of those little details in the Bible that if we dial into it, it'll change everything. Just one tiny little detail. Now, Jesus healed people in a lot of different ways, including sort of remote. But Jesus, at this point, he told his disciples on this first mission, this very first mission, when you heal somebody, I want you to anoint them with oil. Anoint them with oil. When you anoint somebody, now, scholars are a little uncertain on this. We're not sure whether this was entirely like the ceremonial oil like you would use on a priest or a king. Don't know, because olive oil is also an antiseptic. It would also be used as basic elements of first aid back then. But there's one thing that if you're anointing somebody with oil that you cannot avoid doing. What is that? You must touch them. You must touch them. So maybe on that first encounter, he's putting oil on the forehead of this first sick man. An anointing that would signify you are important. You are special. You have been set apart for God's purposes and blessing. How do you think that would change the person receiving that anointing? A person that has not experienced human contact in perhaps months. Touch somebody next to you. Just tap them on the shoulder. Or maybe it was applied like first aid, like salve on a wound. Anointed with oil, and then they prayed. Just like Jesus taught them to pray. Oh God, please heal this man and let him see that you care for him. And that you're alive and well in this world. Amen. Maybe something a little bit different than that, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it does tell us that at least some of the time, something happened beyond what they could ever explain. Beyond what they could ever explain. Have you ever been pushed out of your comfort zone? You know, where you've gotten to that place of fear where God stretches you. It's when we go that we grow. It's when we're getting stretched. That's when we grow. Sometimes God wants you scared. Because that's the holy moment. That's where that transformation happens. And we remember also that when we're looking to make a difference in the world around us, there is no way around it. You gotta touch people. Not like a creepy person. You see what I mean metaphorically, right? You've gotta get involved in people's lives. You've got to. Ministry is always messy. It's always in some degree, it's always hands-on. Always. One of my prayers for this congregation. I'm praying about the whole, you know, five people, Easter, like our church could explode if we would only simply do that. Like if all of us did that, just imagine what would happen. Now here's the other part of it. Like I am praying that there would be maybe 30 or 40 people in our church that would say, when I come to church, my mission isn't to say what will I get out of it. But when I come to church, it's because I'm looking for how can this church be a platform for me to love people and serve people. If we had about 30 people in our church where they were able to, you know, as they come in and come into the congregation, saying there's 10 people that I am just going to check in with on a regular basis. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to ask them how they're doing. If somebody's away from, you know, from worship for a little while without being guilt-ridden, I'm just going to send them a note. I'm going to say, hey, I'm thinking about you. Wondering how you're doing. Do you have any idea how that would change our church? When, if there were like 30 people, or maybe even more, that would say, I'm going to come to church not just to receive ministry, but to do ministry. I'm going to be more concerned about how the people around me are doing than whether I got something out of it today. Can you imagine what would happen? Now, some of you are already doing that. I know you are. I know you are. Just imagine what would happen. The kind of caring environment, kind of place where people would really thrive and really grow and really receive love from one another. Just like the Bible kind of tells us to do it. When we go, we grow. And when we touch, lives change. So Jesus calls his disciples. He stretches them. It just blows my mind that this early on in ministry, Jesus would send them out with this kind of authority. It's crazy. It's crazy. They don't know beans. I mean, they get all the answers wrong to all the questions. They have no idea that Jesus is like, they know he's special, but they're not like sure he's God, and they haven't seen the resurrection. They don't know how the story ends. I mean, they would preach and most of their theology would be wrong. And he still sent them. He still sent them. That's how we grow. Is getting involved. Now, many of you are involved in Bible studies. Oh, I am so glad for that. So whether you're in one of those, like the YouVersion daily plans, and you're in God's Word, oh, thank you for doing that. You're in a Beth Moore study. Oh, man, those are great. We've got some terrific ones happening there. I also want you to remember, that the goal of Christian living isn't just to go from Beth Moore to Beth Moore 2.0 to Beth Moore 3.0 to like BSF, like, you know, pro version, you know, like it's to go in and study and listen and go deep in the scriptures and go deep with Jesus and then apply it. Apply it. Apply it. For some of you, the next classroom you need to go to is the Lighthouse. You need to go to Solomon's porch. You know, you need to show up at a school and volunteer somewhere. You need to go coach soccer. You got to find some place where you're applying your faith, and then, wow, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. I didn't think I was going to use this illustration. It's kind of gross. Some of you are going to hate this for this, but okay. So, but I promise you're never going to forget it. Oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble. Honey, pray for me. Okay, so If all of Christian growth for you, if like I'm going to go to church and God, I hope I get something out of it. God, I hope I learn something today. It's kind of like eating a lot of cheese and no fiber. Okay? Cheese is great. Cheese is great. Pretty soon you're going to get uncomfortable. That's all I'm saying. You'll never forget that. You got to apply it. You got to apply it. It's how we grow. We grow and we go. We grow and we go. Who is God calling you to touch, to reach out to care for? And then remember, after this mission, after this first trial run, Jesus calls the disciples back to himself and he wants to hear how they're doing. He wants to hear how they're doing. You want to make your prayer life just explode with activity? Get involved in ministry and then tell Jesus how it's going. Oh boy, does he want to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. And then remember, there are also times, even as you engage wholeheartedly in ministry, that God calls you to take seasons of rest. You know, I tell the leadership class in the church, 6 + 1 beats 7 + 0 every single time. There needs to be a rhythm in your life of wholehearted, full-on engagement, and then times of rest. You need time away. Jesus is not calling you to spend yourself in a way that burns you out forever. He's calling you to rev your engines and just go for it with all of your heart, and then recharge and refresh with him. So what's the Holy Spirit telling you today? Do you need a season of rest? Has it been a long time since you've taken a day off? Maybe the most faithful thing you can do is to take a day off. Is the Holy Spirit calling you to make learning with the Lord a higher priority in your life? You need God's word in your life like water, like bread. And you need to apply it. I need to apply it. It's as we go that we grow. I want you to take a couple of moments just with a neighbor or somebody in front of you, behind you. Just spend some time with a couple of questions, okay? First question is, which of the following would you most hate to lose? Your keys, your wallet, or your phone? Because sometimes God intentionally has us go without things so that we can remember that actually we're enough. He's not looking for the souped up version of you, the technologically enhanced version of you, the you that you know, on the good day where your hair is right and your clothes are perfect. He wants to use you. You. Because he's enough and he lives in you. Or, right now, how is your faith? How is your faith being stretched? So just take a minute, talk to somebody about it, and we're going to close, we'll have the band come up, we're going to continue in worship in just a moment. Okay, go ahead.